You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. Also write for GrizzlyBearBlues.com. You can check out my work as well as a bunch of others all over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. So make sure you check that out. If you have a minute, please go rate and review the podcast in iTunes. It really helps our iTunes rankings. And if you have a minute as well, please download the new Himalaya podcast app. It's an app that's super easy to use, and you can subscribe to our podcast directly through there. You can get it on all the ways to download new apps, iTunes Store, Google Play, wherever you, whatever kind of device you have, just download the new Himalaya podcast app, and you can subscribe to our podcast directly through it. It's super easy to use. The Grizzlies season is officially over, and we got a lot to talk about. The Grizzlies did a lot of stuff yesterday. I was at Media Day yesterday, which is why there was no episode yesterday. My plan was to come back yesterday and cut up a bunch of audio and use that audio as most of Thursday's episode, and then come back on today, on Friday, and kind of talk about it and dissect what people have said. But the Grizzlies had other plans for my episode. Most of that episode was JB Bickerstaff and Chris Wallace talking. And the Grizzlies, they let JB Bickerstaff go yesterday, and they reassigned Chris Wallace yesterday. So most of that audio doesn't even matter anymore. It was a weird day for sure, and we're going to talk about that. I guess let's start with the obvious, is that this franchise still has no clue what they're doing. Still. They did what people wanted them to do, and still did it in a way where it made everybody angry. Like, the foresight that this organization has and the way they do public relations, it just seems baffling to me how Robert Parra can look at this situation and go, yeah, this is the correct way we should do it. It turns out Robert Parra was in town yesterday. He did come in town later that day yesterday. And presumably that JB Bickerstaff and Chris Wallace, as they reported from a couple of different places, that they had their exit interviews with Robert Parra, and he decided to let them go. I mean, how do you roll these guys out there? And I'm sure I'm saying something that everybody else has said, but I don't care. But how do you roll these guys out there and make them answer questions for 30 minutes apiece about different stuff? JB's out there saying that he doesn't need to improve next year, that everything was fine. Chris Wallace is out here saying he has no idea what direction the team is going. And then they're just here to make noise. Like, I don't understand how you can roll these guys out there and then literally hours later be like, ah, never mind, we're good here. It's such a shitty way to do it. Like, it may have been the right thing to do, and we'll talk about that in a minute, whether it was the right thing to do. It may have been the right thing to do, but man, it was a shitty way to do it. Like, I understand that people get fired all the time, but that is just the most classless, just unprofessional way to go about things for people that are in a public-facing job where you have to go out there and answer questions. There is plenty of... First of all, if you were already going to do this anyway when you came in town, why didn't you do it 4 weeks ago? Why didn't you do it 2 months ago? Why didn't you do it after the trade deadline? Why didn't you do it even 3 days ago? Why did you have to wait until we had already, like 2 hours after we left, the media did, and then you did it? Why do you have to go make these guys go out there and answer questions knowing full well you want to let them go or reassign them or whatever you want to call it? What sense does that make? It makes zero sense. You could have done this literally any other time, and Jason Wexler could have gone out there and answered questions about how they have a new direction for their franchise, and this is their renewed vision, and this is our plan, and this is what we want to do, this is what we want to accomplish in the summer, and the players could go out there and say, yeah, we feel bad for JB, we feel bad for Chris Wallace, but we're going to move on, it's a business, yada, 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 because that's what they were going to say. It's a business, things happen, we'll move on. Jason Wexler could have gave us a vision, could have sold the fans on something smart. Hell, you could have done it a month ago and sold the fans on something smart when season ticket renewals were actually happening. People ask me all the time, what on radio shows, and people are asking me, what should the vision be? Hell, I don't know. If the team doesn't know, why should I? It's just insane to me that there's no foresight, there's no thought involved here. When you could have gotten ahead of this, you could have put people out there in a position where they're talking positive. And instead, the entire news cycle yesterday into today, into this show, is how bad they did it, is how classless that was, is how stupid it was, is how it makes no sense. And now you look like a laughing stock around the whole entire league. You don't think people notice that? You don't think the other GMs notice that? You don't think the other coaches notice that? What are you doing? That's five coaches in 7 years that Robert Pera has gone through. Five coaches in 7 years. And frankly, JB wasn't a great coach. I don't know. We don't know what Fizdale was. I don't know what Fizdale was going to be. But JB wasn't a good coach. And there was no track record for JB to have been a good coach either. So, like, I'm fine with that. But Dave Yeager was a good coach. So, like, Lionel Hollins was a good coach. And so what are you doing? Like, there is no chance. There's no chance that a competent, successful head coach comes to this franchise. No chance. The only chance you have is trying to recruit a top head coach from college or a NBA assistant. Those are your options. You're not getting another head coach from another franchise that is successful. It's just not happening. No amount of money in the world will go, well, you've had five coaches in 7 years. If I don't win right away, you're going to fire me. I have no interest in that. And so now you're stuck in a situation where you look like the laughing stock. You look like a dysfunctional franchise right up there with the Lakers and the Suns and the Kings. That's where you're at right now. You look like a dysfunctional franchise that has no idea what they're doing. That's the issue. That's the problem, is that you could have avoided all of that by literally just doing it in the morning. We got there at 10 o'clock yesterday. You could have done it at 9 a.m. You could have done it at 8:30 last night. You could have done it literally any time other than the time you did it, and it would have been better. Literally any time. But yet, the owner, for some reason, comes in at a random time and says, this is what we're doing. We're going to clean house. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, for a guy that is worth billions of dollars, and you can't be worth billions of dollars and not be a smart dude. Like, for a guy that is worth that amount of money and can't have the foresight to see into the future just a little bit and go, ah, this might be a bad look. We should probably do it in a different way. Or hell, if you're going to do it after the meetings yesterday, wait till next week. Like, when it was reported that you would be in town next week, wait till next week. Like, I know you may go, we're going to want to do it today, but this is going to look really bad if we do it 3 hours after these guys just went out and talked to the media. It still probably looked bad in a week, but it wouldn't look as bad. It wouldn't be as terrible as it was. It would be like, all right, we thought about it. We talked about it. We made some decisions here, because you come into town and that happens that quickly. You know that you knew that we were going to do that no matter what. Like, you knew that you were going to have that conversation no matter what. So we'll have that conversation last night, yesterday, Sunday, 4 weeks ago, literally whenever, besides 3 hours after they go out and answer questions. It's just insane to me how this team is continually screws this up, continually makes bad decisions over and over and over again. And it starts at the top. It starts at the top. The Robert Pera, I'm not sure he has a vision for this team or what he wants, because all they did yesterday was rearrange some pieces. And Zach Kleiman is now effectively your GM. And Zach Kleiman has already been doing GM stuff. He was largely in charge of the trades at the trade deadline. And we all know how critical I've been of that. The trade deadline, you waited too long to do the trades that you did. The trades that you did were fine for Marc Gasol, but you painted yourself in a corner with Jamichael Green and Garrett Temple. And so you've already seen the work of Zach Kleiman. So it's a preview, and we should probably, I'm going to wait until we are my decision. We're just going to give people a chance. I mean, everybody deserves a chance. That's what I'm going to do. But Zach Kleiman's a lawyer. He is general counsel that has been, he was from graduated from Duke Law like 2013. Is a really, really young dude, which I have no problem against having a young guy in there at all. Personally, I like the idea of having a younger GM, but Zach Kleiman is, and it's from Bob Hans, is a smart dude. Like that's, there's nothing wrong with that. But is a lawyer. And so we're going to see what they put around Zach and Jason Wexler. But for all intents and purposes, Zach Kleiman is your GM and he is your executive vice president of basketball, whatever they want to call it, executive vice president of basketball ops. I'm not sure what it is, but they're calling it, but he is your GM. And so there's in the press release, they said that they're going to look for other front office roles. It just makes me uncomfortable because all you've done is reshuffle the things that you already had. Jason Wexler is a great dude, is really, really good at the business ops side. But again, you're elevating a lawyer in Zach Kleiman to your GM role who doesn't have a whole lot of basketball experience. Yes, Chris Makris is still there. Yes, Tayshaun Prince is still there. So it still feels like this group think that they've had for so many years with nobody really in charge. That's what it feels like on the day after. Now we'll see. I mean, they had their chance to go out and prove everybody wrong. But the problem is that this organization has no clout and reliability when they say they're going to do the thing. And they're like, yeah, kind of sure. Because no one believes you because you continually screw this shit up. That's why no one believes you. That's why I don't believe you. That's why I don't believe in what you did, because you continually do things. Instead of going out and getting someone outside the organization with new ideas, fresh ideas, and bringing them in as the head of basketball ops, as your new GM, all you did was elevate old people to new roles, and you just rearranged some names and rearranged some people. That's all they did yesterday. So let's be really, really frank about this. Zach Kleiman's already been making a lot of these decisions anyway, and this front office that you have now has already been making a lot of these decisions anyway. So if you aren't happy about what they did at the trade deadline, I got news for you. Ain't much going to change because you might be unhappy going forward. We're going to see what they put around those other guys. They said they're going to go out and look for other experience in the front office, and they say they're going to go put other people around these guys. But we'll see. At the end of the day, it's still up to Zach to make these decisions because he's effectively the GM, and he'll still be held responsible for the decisions that are made. And so we have no idea what that's going to hold because Zach Kleiman's inexperienced. He has no experience in basketball. He has no experience as a GM. So instead of going out and finding a competent, an experienced general manager that has run a franchise before from outside in and bring it in and come in and bring in a bunch of fresh ideas and different stuff and how to run this franchise, they did the same old thing over and over. Robert Parrott just reshuffled people. All he did was put Chris Wallace in a scouting role. To be fair, that's a role that Chris Wallace has no power. Chris Wallace has one more year in his contract, and that's all they're doing is waiting out that year. But he just reshuffled the deck. That's all Robert Parrott did. To be quite honest with you, that's all he did, and it remains to be seen whether or not that will work. Now, it's not what I wanted. I want someone to come in here and actually have experience as a general manager. That's what I wanted, but that's not what we got. And so somehow the Grizzlies, they got rid of Chris Wallace, which is what most people wanted them to do. They got rid of JB Bickerstaff, which is what most people wanted them to do, but they did it in such a shitty way, and all they did was reshuffle the deck and put different people in new roles. That's it. That's all they did. So while there was some news yesterday and it was some big news, when you really think about it and you break it down, things aren't much different than they were to start the week. Yes, Chris Wallace is gone, and so he can't tell us the dumb crap he always told us about how he has no idea what's going on, and he can't just talk around in circles at press conferences. But there's not much difference. Hopefully the Grizzlies will learn from their mistake, and they'll put Zach out there and Jason out there next week or soon for the media to come ask questions. That's what you should do next. Yes, you botched this. Yes, you screwed this up. You have to understand that you screwed this up. Put Jason and Zach out there on Monday and let us come talk to them so that we can ask them questions so that they can give us their idea of what this team should be. Give us some vision. Communicate with the media so that we can disseminate that information to the fans. Communicate to the fans directly. Give them a vision of what you want this franchise to be. Take the weekend. You know, clearly, it's not a new staff, so they shouldn't have to take very long to understand what they want this franchise to be. They've been here all along. But give us some direction on what this franchise should be. Give us some goals of what you want to do. Quite frankly, there was nothing in that press and in that availability on Thursday that said to me, all right, we know what we're doing. Even the players, they don't really know the goals. Hell, they had a meeting with JB Bickerstaff about what they were going to do next year, about what they wanted to accomplish next year. And then JB Bickerstaff went in a meeting with Robert Pear and got fired. So there is no communication. There is no vision. There is no any of that still. But the Grizzlies need to put Zach and Jason out there on Monday or Tuesday next week. Let us come ask questions. Let them communicate their vision to the fans. Give them some hope. Give them some positivity, because you've screwed this up so bad. And to lock them away in the closet and not let them talk for weeks, which is, quite frankly, is probably what they're going to do. Don't expect them to put Jason and Zach out there and let them talk to us. They're probably going to put them in a closet it's going to be business as usual. And nobody's going to talk for this franchise. And that is the issue. That's the biggest issue that everybody's had all along, is that nobody talks to anybody. There's no communication. There's no vision. Nobody saying this is what we want to do. These are the goals we want to accomplish. I understand you can't come out there. You can't tell us everything that you want to do. But there's no one out there even saying anything. Chris Wallace talked three times this year. Three times. He talked at Media Days at the beginning. He talked to the trade deadline. And he talked at the end of the year. That's it. Three times the entire year. I'm not saying you have to roll Chris Wallace out at every game. That's not what you have to do. But they did the bare minimum of making Chris Wallace available to the media to let us ask questions about what this franchise is going, where this franchise is going, and what they want to do. That's it. And so they can start, if they want to renew some sense of hope in this fan base, if they want to get on back on the positive side of things, they can start with putting Jason and Zach out there and letting everybody ask questions about what they want to do. Unfortunately, the Grizzlies probably won't do that. They probably won't do the most obvious thing that you should do. And that's unfortunate, because we're going to go into the cycle of not knowing again. I would be surprised if the first time we talk to any of those guys is before summer league or before the draft, excuse me, or any of that. So it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. So that's my rant on the Grizzlies changing offices with Chris Wallace, reassigning Chris Wallace, firing JB Bickerstaff. Again, I'm not mad at the moves. I think they did the right things. We've been talking about it on this show for a long time. I thought they did the right things. The way they went about it was absolutely the wrong way to go about it. It was a shitty way to do it. And the people they rearranged and just put new names into the front office is, again, we don't know yet, but their track record so far hasn't been great. They've been a part of the front office that has been making the decision so far. And as Chris Wallace liked to put it before, it's a group effort. And so these guys have already been doing something before. So just rearranging them and putting them in new roles doesn't inspire a lot of hope. Only time will tell. We'll see if they put some new experience people around those guys. That's the hope right now. We hope is we put new experience guys around Zach so that we have more than just the same old, same old. So coming up after the break, I am going to still play some of the audio from the press conference yesterday. I've got some audio from Mike, Justin Holiday, Kyle Anderson, Jonas Valanciunas, basically all the players, because the coaches and the because JB and Chris Wallace don't really matter anymore. So we'll hear from most of those players there. I'll just kind of stack them up back to back for the rest of the episode after the break. So again, appreciate you guys joining me. Stay tuned throughout the break. Wyze is the indoor camera that does it all. Wyze is packed with premium features that allows you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. It's 1080 full HD. The images are so clear you won't miss a thing. It's got night vision and two-way audio. Wyze has one mission, is to bring amazing smart home products and make it accessible to every single person. If you're on vacation and want to check on your house All you have to do is log into their app and see the live stream from anywhere in the world. If you're on vacation, if you want to make sure your dogs are okay, if you want to make sure that your plants have been watered, literally you can watch anything you want to watch from anywhere in the world with the Wyze Cam at just $20 a camera. It is super, super affordable. And even bigger bonus, they have a free 14-day rolling cloud storage and no subscriptions. I know that every single time you get something, there's always that hidden thing as you have to subscribe. Well, with Wyze Cam, there is no subscriptions at all. And for just $10 more, Wyze Cam Pan gives you 360 degrees of coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast. Your camera should too. You can also track action. Wyze Cam Pan automatically detects, tags, and tracks motion within its field of view. You want to watch your pets when you're on vacation? It's literally never been easier, as the Wyze Cam Pan will keep up with the motion as it crosses the field of view. Keeping up with life in real time has never been so easy. It even works with Alexa. It also works on your smartphone from literally anywhere in the world. Go to wyze.com/locked. That's wyze.com, wyze.com/locked. You'll get the lowest price available.
I thought I learned a lot. It was productive from the standpoint of me just getting involved for the first time. So there's still much to learn. I'm not, you know, resting on anything. But I'm glad I was able to go through the ups and downs my first year, you know, to really fill it out.
Were you able to take any positives away from not being able to play in that last part of the season, maybe just the mental part of the game?
Yeah, I think just being able to watch, especially guys who played in my position, how they move and how they, you know, score and operate with the ball, because they've been playing longer than me, I can kind of see what they do and how I can help myself better, you know, in the game.
Do you how are you feeling health-wise? I mean, how do you see this lingering a little longer, or are you getting closer to 100%?
No, I'm getting very close. I think I'm about 90-95, probably closer to 95. But yeah, no, it's no lingering. I'm going to be make a full recovery. I'm going to be good.
You talked about watching the other guys play.
It was a great experience for these young guys that were able to get these game reps, and that's something that, you know, you have to do to get that experience, and I thought they handled it really, really well. I thought JB did a great job, and you know, I'm glad that I was able to play these last 2 months and just kind of go into this summer healthy and, you know, ready to get better this summer and, you know, be an impact player next year.
Talk about being healthy coming into when you signed a deal and came here and had the, you know, the big news conference and all that. You still had some problems with your knee. Do you think that maybe it would have been better if you'd have just sat, if they said, look, this guy's a long-term investment, we're just going to sit him that first year and let you get totally healthy?
You could always think that way, sure, but, you know, as a competitor, there was no way I was going to do that. You know, I signed a deal and I came here to play. I didn't come here to sit, so maybe I came back a little too early, but that was something that, you know, I wanted to do and I wanted to play, and, you know, I was chomping at the bit to do.
What was different for you physically between the end of the season, we played this long stretch of effective play the last really 15, 20 games, the beginning of the season where by game three it was sort of bothering you?
You know what, by game three that was kind of just a freak thing. Like, we had a practice here, we flew to Utah, and my knee just kind of blew up. I think, you know, that month and a half I spent home, I took advantage of. I really locked in on my diet. I really locked in on workouts, and kind of brought everybody with me here to Memphis for this last 6-7 weeks post All-Star, and just stayed on that routine. And you know what? My knees felt great. You know, my range of motion was great. I didn't have any swelling, and that was something that I was just able to continue to do. And, you know, obviously I have some issues with my knees, but, you know, the last 2 months proved to me that I can manage it and I can still be a, you know, effective player.
Acrimony, but just your relationship with the front office?
You know, business is business. I wouldn't really say we have, you know, a relationship. I don't really speak to them. I haven't talked to them since I've been back. I'll talk to them in, you know, 15 minutes here before I leave, but kind of keep it separate. I'm here to play basketball. I'm not here to be, you know, friends with them, or I'm here to help us win games. So that's just how it is, and that's how it's been. I've accepted that.
Any error
about that from your perspective?
It's just something I've been going through in my career, where you know, something's felt off about my shooting motion. You know, I've experienced it not as much as this season, but sometimes in the last two or three seasons, and this season it just got really bad to where the point it was kind of messing with me. So, you know, I just wanted to get on top of it and fix it and not let it affect the rest of my career.
At what point did you realize this is something I need to sit down and really figure out?
I mean, it's been bothering me all year. You know, I knew I had to eventually, but I think after that Minnesota game, which was, I'm not sure when, I think maybe late January or maybe February, I'm not sure. Yeah, after that Minnesota game, I just, you know, I didn't feel comfortable. You know, it was really bothering me. So I wanted to get on top of it. I didn't want this to linger.
And it's something that's been bothering you your whole career?
Not my whole career. Okay. I would say about two, three seasons ago, okay, it started, but never as severely as this year. It never really stuck around. It would, you know, come on, go away, be able to manage it, and it would be able to go away. But, you know, this year I wasn't, so, you know, I felt it was serious this time.
Was it pain?
It is. It's a weird feeling. What's going on here is probably more common in baseball with pitchers throwing, you know, 9,500 mile per hour fastballs. I just feel, you know, a kind of tingly sensation in my hand. It's just a weird feeling. I can't really tell you. It would be pain during the game, and, you know, when I'd get a little tired, I'd feel a little pain. But as of now, in the last few months and weeks, it's just been like a weird feeling, weird sensation in my hand. You know, something that's been really off.
Get it. At first, they think you can do it with rest, and then at what point was the decision made? Yeah, let's do surgery.
Yeah, there were a lot of variables we had to go through. We didn't just want to, you know, get me under the knife just like that. You know, we wanted to try a few things out, you know, treat a few things and, you know, see how things would go. But, you know, obviously that didn't work, and, you know, surgery is the right way to go.
You're confident?
Yes, yes. You know, it's going to be tough battle, but, you know, I'm ready for it, so.
Is there a particular name for this type of surgery? Can they tell you how long you'll be in the sling?
I don't know, boss. I'm not a doctor. I should know being in a doctor's office, but, you know, I don't really know a name for it.
They tell you, okay, you'll be out for so long, but then you'll be able to start the ball?
They gave me a timetable. You know, I'm not sure if everything's gonna go according to plan to that, but you know, they said in about 4 weeks I should be able to shoot a basketball normally. 6 weeks maybe working out, 8 to 10, you know, I should be back on the court ready to do everything. So I'm excited about it,
and hopefully this will make, I mean, you believe you'll come back better because you won't be bothered by this.
Yes definitely. I believe I'm gonna come back much better, and you know, I have a long summer to work on things I need to improve. So I'm excited about this.
Did you characterize your time here? I mean, you come here and you're used to a bigger role, much more, and it really seemed like you were the big favorite of the fans, too.
I had a great time. Those, I don't know, 20 games we played. I played in Memphis. It was great. It was you know, I had a chance. I had minutes. I had touches. I had trust from a coach. Gave me you know, a lot of confidence, and I was just, you know, worried about basketball and how I can be better. That was great. That was great 2 months of basketball.
What about this in the city itself?
You know, people are really nice to me, and I feel support from the fan base, and you know, rebuilding. I know we're not winning, and it's kind of, you know, everybody expects us to win, but it's just building process. You know, we're moving in the right direction.
How are you going to approach this offseason from a decision-making standpoint, in terms of, like, what do you want out of a team, out of a contract?
I want to play basketball, and I want to play, you know, basketball, I would say, like, the same as we showed 2 months in the season. It's just a matter of, you know, making a decision, talking with the team, talking with upstairs, and I think we'll make a decision, and everything's gonna be good.
Do you have a level of confidence about that? And would your preference be to stay?
Yeah, you know, I like JB, Coach JB. You know, he's done a great job with us. I know we... CJ, can you... You know, I like what he does. He done with the team, and you know, last 2 months was for me, it was really good. And I feel confident coming into next season. You know, all that decision-making and stuff like that, we'll see what's going to happen. But, you know, I'm saying I wanna continue on that note.
Would you be open to opting out and then signing a longer-term deal here? Because it would keep you here longer than just...
Again, we got to make that decision. We got to talk first. We got to start, you know, conversating, and then everything is on the table.
Is it important for you to have a multi-year contract going into next season, whether that's here or elsewhere?
I said it earlier. For me, it's... I'm looking at the basketball perspective. You know, I'm trying to play basketball and be productive, get a chance to play basketball, and you know, I think this is the good chance for me, and we're gonna build on that. I'm not looking money, years, whatever. I'm looking at the basketball.
You feel like the last few months, though, you definitely enhanced your on-court value for whoever?
I think so. I mean, I don't like judging myself. I like, you know, I let it, you guys do it. And, you know, I'm saying I had a great time playing basketball. So that was really important for me. And we'll build on that.
Are you surprised by
it from when you came in to the end of the season?
Yeah, I think he did a great job. You know, one is hard to coach when you don't know what players you're going to have, when guys are, you know, in and out with injuries. It's always tough, and it seemed like we just continued to have that struggle for us. But I think he did a great job of getting us to go out there and play as hard as we could every night and improve each day, and that's really, you know, all you can do.
How did you kind of notice a shift in the team style from when you first arrived and Mark was still here to when, after the trade deadline, y'all had different pieces in there?
Yeah, obviously we got a little younger, got faster. And I'm not saying, you know, it was specifically because of one person, but we tried to play a little faster. And then, you know, when guys got hurt, we really tried to play fast and more of a spread offense and, you know, open up space, especially for our guards like Mike and DeLon to get out here.
When you first got here, the shot went wrong. It just wouldn't happen. But as the year went along, what was the transition point for you? And then how do you feel about being able to translate that going into next year?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly when it started falling for me, but obviously it's not my first time playing basketball, first time missing shots. So I just knew eventually it would come. I wanted to make sure I did stay aggressive, because that's what my job is. But then when it finally, you know, came, I mean, really at the end of the day, I don't just shoot the ball well, so I knew I had to focus on those other things, you know, to help the team. And, you know, hopefully the momentum of ending the season, you know, goes well into the next year, and I don't miss a shot ever again.
How difficult was that, having to play with a lot of guys that, you know, were not really rotation guys, and do you ever daydream about, wow, what if we had our full complement of players on?
I mean, with a whole bunch of guys hurt, you know, you think about that. You know, sometimes I would, you know, make comments like JJ or something like, we had everybody here. I don't even know if we had enough balls to go around. Like, because we have a lot of players that can play this game, you know, that weren't playing. But, you know, and as far as the guys that, you know, were in rotation before, I've been in that situation. So it was actually an exciting situation for me to actually be able to see them, be able to play, get the opportunity, and they did well with it. So I still feel like we can win with those guys on the floor as well. As far as
team
I mean, one thing, obviously, I'm in a situation now where I can control where I go. We all know I've been traded and moving around a good amount of time. So, you know, main thing is to be able to find a home and obviously make money. You know, there's no doubt about it. That's what we're all here to do. But I want to be able to find a home and be somewhere long term. That's very, very important to me, have that stability.
Would you want to be back here?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, if it works out, cool. If it doesn't, again, this is a business, man. I've been in places where I thought I was going to be there forever. And as you can see, that hasn't happened for me yet. So, you know, if it works out here, of course I'll come back. I enjoy it.
What would maybe your message be to free agent suitors, guys, or franchises that are looking at you when they look at the body of work that you did, you know, here in Memphis?
What would my message be? I mean, at the end of the day, you know you're going to get a player that's going to come in and do the best he can every day and give you everything he has. Regardless of whether that shot's falling or not, it won't dictate how the rest of my game goes. The other things I do well with the team and if I'm going to be there or not. I mean, I played 81 games. I missed one because I got traded.
Yeah.
I'm going to be out there. I don't miss practices. I'm going to be there for the team, and the team is what is important to me. So you can rest in that at least.
That's it for today's show. Again, thanks for joining me. Download the podcast today. Going forward on this show, we were going to be doing the show. We're going to be going down to probably about 2 times a week. It won't be a certain day. I might decide to try it on a certain day so you guys can know what days to expect it. Let me know if you guys want Tuesdays and Thursdays, Mondays and Wednesdays, if there's a certain days that you guys find best, but we'll be going down to a couple days a week, just so that, as we'll get news out as they go. I got a couple round tables with a couple different media members planned next week. So, those will get us to the first few episodes. We do have the, drawing today. They do the random drawing for the 7, 8, 9 spots, today on NBA TV. I think it's like 3:45. So if you're listening to this, that might've already happened. And then we'll, the next part of that was, to actually have the lottery drawing, but that happened. The drawing for the 7, 8, 9 spot happens today on NBA TV. So check that out. Again, if you're not already subscribed to this show, please do so. Please go subscribe in iTunes, leave us a review, and rate us in iTunes. It really helps on the iTunes rankings. If you don't do that, just go download the Himalaya podcast app. You can subscribe to our podcast directly through it. You can get it wherever you get your apps. It's super easy, super intuitive. Just go download the Himalaya podcast app. Great sponsor of this very show. If you still don't know where to go after all that, you can just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.